Okay, so what we'll be talking about tonight will be the halachas of waiting after eating meat. I'm going to try to cover everything that I can, and I made sources to make it slightly easier for people. Thank you, slide back. I made sources just to make it slightly easier. Okay, so what you have in front of you in source number one is the concept of waiting after eating meat. What's the source? Let me sit over there just to make it a little bit easier. Okay. So the Gemara says like this, just to clarify, obviously the biblical prohibition is only if milk and meat are cooked together. If they're not cooked together, then there's no biblical prohibition. So if milk and meat is not cooked together, there's no biblical prohibition. However, rabbinically, you obviously can't eat them together, meaning if you have a cup of milk and a burger, there's no biblical prohibition. It's okay, it's no problem. You have Jeff, you want, if there are sources, if you can give them. If not, no, that's not it. I apologize, Torah, anytime. You're going to have to wait. So you got it.
One second.
Okay. So we're going to start now, okay? Cut two, starting now. So we're about to start. So Meikar Amina Torah, from a biblical halacha, there's only a prohibition of basa b'chalav if they're cooked together. If they're not cooked together, it's not biblically prohibited at all. So therefore, technically, according to the Torah, you could have a burger and a cup of milk at the same time. Now obviously, there's a rabbinic prohibition that goes without saying. In addition to that rabbinic prohibition, Chazal decided that there has to be a separation between the two. That milk and meat can't even be eaten, you know, it's not like you could eat them bite after the other. There has to be a complete separation. If there's a question, you let me know. What you have in front of you is source number Aleph, is the source for how long you have to wait. There's no clear, it doesn't clearly say in the Pasuk how much you have to wait. So what is the separation? So the Gemara in Chulin says, Amra chizda achal basar, asil achal gvina. If you eat meat, you can't eat milk afterwards. Meaning there has to be a separation, but again, it doesn't say the amount. So the Gemara explains, Amr mar ukva. Meaning, what the Gemara says is, Mar Ukva said, my father is much more religious than I am, because my father would wait 24 hours. His father would not eat milk and meat within 24 hours. He would eat meat and then wait 24 hours, then eat milk, wait 24 hours. By the way, the Sarpan, the Arizal was actually makbid like that. But the point is that he would say, my father is way more religious. I'm like vinegar compared to my father, who's like wine. I don't wait 24 hours. I hold you don't have to wait 24 hours. How long do you have to wait? Bein suda lesuda. You can't eat them in the same meal. They have to be between suda lesuda. And we'll explain today exactly what that means. Just as a side point, before we go weiter, I saw Rav Yaakov Hillel in his Sefer. This is completely on the side. He asked a question. He says, Mar Ukva says, my father is much more religious than I am. So Rav Yaakov Hillel asks, why didn't he just act as religious as his father? I mean, if his father's doing this, and he clearly thinks it's a nice thing to do, he said his father's so religious, he waits 24 hours, then why doesn't he also wait 24 hours? So says Rav Yaakov Hillel, we see from here, that not everyone should take upon chumras upon themselves. There are certain chumras that are okay to take upon yourself, but there are certain things that are just beyond you. And Mar Ukva felt that these things are just beyond you. This is beyond him. Waiting 24 hours is not something that everyone should take upon himself. This just reminds me, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he writes that his father-in-law, meaning the previous Rebbe, had a custom that, you know how the Chassan and Kala fast on the day of the wedding? He had a custom that the parents also fast. The parents of the Chassan and Kala also fast. That was the custom of the previous Rebbe. But the Rebbe writes in a letter, don't take this upon yourself, meaning this is not a chumrah that you should take upon yourself. He said, if you want to follow my father-in-law, follow in the way that he was a tzaddik. Don't follow in that regard. But the point is, that was just as a side point, that not every chumrah you should take upon yourself. But going back to this Gemara, Mar Ukva is telling us very clearly that the obligation to wait between milk and meat is not necessarily... there's no time specifically in the Gemara. It's you have to wait from one Suda to the next. So what does that mean? So in Bays in front of you, I'll just say it outside, the Rambam famously says what that means is you have to wait between milk and meat, meaning after meat, before eating milk, you have to wait for the amount of time that they would have from one meal to the next. And the girl explains that was 6 hours. They would normally eat two meals during the day, one breakfast and a late lunch. There were 6 hours in between, so when the Gemara says you have to wait from one meal to the next, what it means is wait from the time from breakfast to lunch, which is 6 hours. So that's the source of waiting 6 hours. That's the most accepted approach amongst Klal Yisrael. Svardim are makbid, most Ashkenazim hold to wait 6 hours, and that's, I think, the accepted psak. Now, within waiting 6 hours, I'm going to try to cover as much as I can. Like I said, if there are questions, you let me know. Within waiting 6 hours, many people don't wait a full 6 hours. Rav Aaron Cutler, I think, first of all, some wait 5.5. That's, I think Rav Aaron is quoted as holding waiting 5.5. But some people wait into the sixth. They wait 5 hours and like a minute. So I think the source for that is the Me'iri. The Me'iri has a sefer called Magen Avos, where he writes all of his Minhagim. And he says the obligation to wait is 5 or 6. Chamesh o sheshos. So I always thought that the people that wait 5 hours and a minute, they're actually waiting 5 hours. I don't think that there's such a concept of into the sixth. I don't know what that means. Normally, within an hour is not close enough. You can't just be like, okay, well, Shabbos started 58 minutes ago. That's close enough. I'm within the hour. That doesn't really work. It's usually, it's pretty specific. So therefore, when the people that say, oh, it's into the sixth, where do they get that? I think they get that from the Me'iri, because the Me'iri records it as 5 or 6. Okay. But again, this is all within the first opinion, which is the most accepted, that you have to wait a full 6 hours. Now, there's a second opinion. The most, I think the second most common one that people have heard of, I don't know, whatever, the second one that has the most sources, which is the Dutch Jews who wait an hour. So where is that coming from, right? So we normally have to wait 6. Why? Because you have to wait from one meal to the next. So where is the concept of waiting an hour? So the concept is from Dalid. Taisvis, again, I'm not going to get too detailed, because I want to get to more of the practical stuff. Taisvis explains that when the Gemara says you have to wait from one meal to the next, Taisvis says it's not a time thing. It's not 5 hours, 3 hours, 6 hours. There's no time. You just have to bench. It has to just not be in the same meal. According to Taisvis, it's instantaneous. The second you make a bracha achrona, you could eat milk. Meaning, according to Taisvis, you eat meat, you say a bracha achrona, you wash your hands, you rinse your mouth out, you're good to go. There's no time based. So the Taz explains what Dutch Jews, when they wait an hour, they're being machmer on themselves. Really, they hold me'ikar din, it's mutter right away. But they're being machmer an hour. So an hour is actually a chumrah, according to the Taz. We obviously look at it as a very big kula, but it's obviously, according to the Taz, it's a big chumrah. So therefore, you have two opinions so far. You have the Dutch Jews that wait an hour, and you have almost everyone else that waits 6. Now, some people wait 3. Now, where is that? So that's harder to find a source. German Jews wait 3. I've been told from a couple of people told me that they're not German, but their fathers wait 3. I don't know that. You have to look into. That might be something that their fathers weren't as makbid, but where is the 3 coming from? There's no source in the Rishonim, and it doesn't make a lot of sense, because you either have a full 6, or it's right away, or wait an hour. Where is the 3 coming from? So, in Hay, the Pri Chodesh says, basically, in certain countries, especially during the winter, they would eat 3 hours in between. So according to the Pri Chodesh, it's still working within the same guidelines of the first opinion, which is from meal to meal, but instead of 6, okay, in certain places they don't wait 6 hours, they wait 3, and that's how it evolved. So therefore, just to clarify, we have 3 opinions. You got 1 hour, 3 hours, and 6 hours. Now, the 3 hours, as I said, it's a little harder to find a source for it. So there's a question amongst the modern-day poskim. If, let's say, you have a Jew who waits 3 hours, should he change to 6? Normally, you go with your minig. But I guess if your minig is not as based in sources, there is room to change your opinion. So the question is, should someone who waits 3 change his opinion to 6? So you have in front of you is involved the Yakut Yosef, Rav Yitzchak Yosef, the chief Sephardi rabbi of Israel. He writes, Toiv shiyashanu es minhagim lahantam sheshois. It's actually better for them to change their minig. That's what he says. It's meaning he doesn't feel that the 3 hours is as sourced, and therefore he's not as into it. And he says it's actually better for them to change their minig. However, Rav Belsky disagreed. Rav Belsky said, no. At the end of the day, it's a minig of Klal Yisrael for at least a couple hundred years. And therefore, you don't have to change your minig. 3 hours is legitimate, and that's fine. Again, only if you're German. If you're not German, I don't know why. I don't know where 3 hours comes from. If you're not German, I'm not sure exactly how that evolved. Okay.
Is the Akuyo say specifically speaking towards the people that wait 3 hours or also to the people that wait 1 hour?
No, I think that the 1 hour, I think he would acknowledge. That's already the Ramah. I think that's legitimate enough. That's in Rishonim and in Achronim. I think he's talking about the 3. He's saying the 3 that you should change. You know, that's his opinion. Again, I don't think that that's accepted. I don't think German Jews change their opinion. I think they're good. But okay, fine. So now just to mention just a couple of the halachas. Why is it that we wait 6 hours? I'm talking we because I think the average person here waits 6 hours. So why is it that we wait 6 hours? What's the reason? So some people think it's because the body digests, it takes 6 hours to break it down. That's not true. That's, first of all, I don't know if it's true, but you could eat milk and then go right away to meat, right? Unless it's aged cheese, right? You go dairy to meat, you don't have to wait at all. It's in the same stomach, right? Your body's, that doesn't matter. Once it hits the stomach, we don't really care about it. That's not the concern. The reason why you have to wait 6 hours amongst the Yishonim is two reasons. First of all, there might be meat stuck in between your teeth. And for 6 hours, meat in between the teeth has the halachic status of meat. And the second reason is that meat coats the throat. Meat coats the throat, so therefore, as long as you chewed meat, you have to wait 6 hours. That's why, by the way, if you just chew on meat and spit it out, you still have to wait 6 hours. Because there might be meat in between your teeth. Okay. So now we're just going to get to, I'm just going to sort of, again, if there's no questions, you let me know. I'm going to sort of mention some of the halachas. Some of them are on the sheets, some of them aren't. Okay. As I mentioned, one of the reasons why we wait 6 hours is because the meat in between your teeth. And therefore, if you chewed meat, you have to wait 6 hours. So now, the poskim say that even if you chewed a meat dish without meat in it, meaning not the actual meat, let's say you cook meat and rice, you just chewed on the rice and spit it out, you still have to wait 6 hours. Because it's included in the Gezerah. However, Ravelsky felt, and it really is sourced in earlier sources, but this is very relevant, especially for women cooking on Fridays, Ravelsky held that if you take soup, put it in your mouth for a second, just to see if it's salty, whatever, and spit it out, you don't have to wait 6 hours. Specifically by soup, like if it was rice, you'd have to, but soup, because it can't get stuck in between your teeth, and you're not swallowing it, so it's not coating the throat, so therefore both reasons don't apply. So if you want to just taste a little bit of soup, just, again, put it on your tongue, maybe wish it around a little bit, and then spit it out, that you do not have to wait 6 hours from that. That's the opinion of Belsky, and other Paiskim also, that's a pretty accepted view. I wouldn't do that for anything else. I wouldn't, you know, on a meatball, no, but specifically soup, chicken soup, if you put it in your mouth, spit it out, that should be okay. Okay. There's one big chumrah of the hafla. It might sound a little bit disgusting, but people do this, so you have to be careful. A lot of times, people will find something in between your teeth, okay, at some point in the day. And sometimes people eat it. According to the hafla, I know it's disgusting, but according to the hafla, if you do that, you have to wait 6 hours from that time. It restarts the 6 hour process. Because the hafla says, I mean, it's disgusting, but the hafla says, think about it. There's no amount of meat, right? Even a minimal amount of meat will trigger the 6 hours. So if you find a little bit of meat in your mouth and you eat it, all right, that's going to trigger waiting 6 hours. There are those that disagree, but it's definitely something that we should try to avoid. I don't think that, whatever. I mean, Meir Shashiva, he went to Kelm, so he would probably not be okay with the concept of a person just eating because he's not really thinking. I saw in a sefer, this is a side point, there's a machlokas between Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Chazon Ish, whether you have to check your svarim, bedikas chametz on Pesach. So Rav Shlomo Zalman held that you do not have to check your svarim. So they asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, what if you're learning and there's like a little piece of like you know, like a little, like a speck of food in your sefer and you eat it. So Rav Shlomo Zalman, instead of responding to halacha, was a little shocked that people would just, he's like, what are you doing eating just something out of a sefer? What do you just do? Because you're not thinking, you're just moving. So he was against the whole concept. But I'm not saying to do it, but the Hafla does say that you would have to wait 6 hours.
You have the chashash by Pesach with chametz.
That what? You'll actually...
That someone's going to find the food and just eat it.
Meaning in the Svarim?
Not just the Chal, then.
Yeah, but the Svarim, the reason is because it'll be pirurin and little dust, okay. Little specks, you know. But the Chazon Ish, by the way, the Chazon Ish held that you have to check your Svarim. And that's why the Chazon Ish had a special section of Svarim, specifically for Pesach. That the story goes that one person went over to an author, a young man who authored a Sefer, and he wanted to give him like high praise, that he said, I saw your Sefer on the table of the Chazon Ish on Pesach. Wow, he must be learning it. So the guy's like, no, don't you realize he didn't learn it the whole year? Because if he learned it the whole year, he only specifically has it for that. It's clearly not on the top of his list. Anyway, so, but that's the hafla. Okay, so according to the hafla, you should try to not do that. It's better to avoid doing that. Okay, now we're just going to run through some of the halachas. Like I said, if there are questions, I'll try to cover everything. Maybe even if I have time, I'll get to like the cheese, the aged cheese and that type of stuff. Okay, Yakut Yosef writes in Ches, that if let's say you're not sure whether 6 hours passed, A lot of times you're not sure. You know, on Shabbos, when did we finish eating? I don't know. Maybe it was close to one. I'm not 100% sure. See, he says, "Hamasupik im avru sheshoyis mizman sheochol macholi baser aydain loy avru sheshoyis." If you're not sure, you're pretty sure, but you can't. It's within 10 minutes. You're not 100% sure. He says, "Rashi lahakam asafik." You're allowed to eat because safik derabanan lekula, right? Safik derabanan lekula. Even though, yes, if you wait 10 minutes, you could avoid the safik. You're allowed to. However, Rav Chaim Kanievsky disagrees in Doila Mashka. So it is a machlokas. If you want to be lenient, you definitely have what to rely on. If you're, again, it's only obviously if it's close. If it's just like, it's either 6 hours or we finished 2 hours ago, then obviously not. But if there is a chance, you definitely have what to rely on. Okay. Now this next halacha, I have to be very careful because I do not believe we pasken this way. I want to make that very clear. I do not believe we pasken this way, but I'm going to bring it down because just for the honesty of it, there is an opinion out there. I mean, I once wrote an article on these topics online. It was like, I think it was on Matzav, and someone wrote to me, why did I either left this out or I said this is not accepted? What do you mean? You have to be very smart. You're saying things, you have to be careful. It has to be accepted. What I'm about to say, I don't believe is the accepted psak, but I will bring it down as a possibility, but we don't pasken that way. I was once asked by someone who was living by his uncle, and his uncle was a Hatzalah member. And he said that what he saw his uncle do was, he once woke up in the middle of the night, about 2 or 3, I think I mentioned this to you once, the 2 or 3 hours after the meal. So let's say he finished his Friday night meal at 10 o'clock. He wakes up at 1 o'clock for a 12 o'clock, whatever, for a call. He goes out to do the call. He comes back. He was, I guess, wired up, whatever, he was awake. He wanted to have a cup of coffee. It's within 6 hours. And he was drinking coffee. So the guy went over to him. He said, what do you mean? It's within 6 hours. What are you doing? He said, if you slept, it's okay. So what concept is that? So we have in front of you in test. There is a source for it. Again, it's not accepted. So I don't believe you should follow this way. There were some rabbanim that did, but I don't believe that we should follow this. But there's such an opinion. He says like this: B'sefer v'yas Avram, maybe b'shem ha'goy the kaddish admar of Avram Chachanov. The Avram of Chachanov felt sheshir sheshayis haynu leikol b'shina goyrim ikol v'loitzar sheshayis. Something about sleep speeds up the process. Whatever that means, maybe it breaks down the meat residue in your mouth. I guess he felt that the reason, okay, I guess he says, you know, you wake up when you have bad breath. So I guess sleeping, he felt, does that. Even though I don't know if it's sleeping does it. I think it's more not eating and drinking for 6 hours that does it. But the point is, he felt that sleeping speeds up the process and breaks down whatever meat is in your mouth. And therefore, sleeping is enough. So he said, meaning that according to the Chachanover, if you fell asleep, so you eat fleishik, you go to sleep, after 2 hours, you wake up, that would be enough. You don't have to wait 6 hours. Now, obviously, that's a very big leniency. We don't pasken that way. I've never seen anyone outside of that story. I'll be honest with you, when he asked me about it, I was pretty shocked. I'm like, you're not waiting 6 hours because you slept? I looked into it. Okay, there's such a source. But I don't believe it's accepted. It's not something I would do. And over here you have in front of you is from Ramesh Shtembach. Ramesh Shtembach in Eretz Yisrael, he writes the following. In Truvus and Hagas, Chelik Aleph, Simin Tef Lamed Aleph, Shemati She'echa Migdali Heroa Pasakein Alach Lamaisa. He actually quotes this psak that sleeping speeds up the process, that if you fall asleep, you don't have to wait 6 hours anymore. Obviously, it's a tremendous kula, and he said that he heard a big rav followed that way. They do say that Rav Yashiv held that if you slept 3 hours, it's enough. Okay, but I don't know who he's quoting. V'yeshul Tamaya, he says, I don't understand, how could you pass in this way? What about the following story? Shalei Roa Sefer Zichra in Moishem and Hagas HaChasam Sefer. I'll explain what this means in a second. The Chassam Sofer originally wanted to paskin this way. The Chassam Sofer originally felt that if you fall asleep, that's enough. You don't have to wait 6 hours anymore. So the Chassam Sofer, who obviously didn't sleep 6 hours, he put a cup of coffee by his bed before he went to bed. He was fleishik, put the cup of coffee by his bed, intending on waking up and drinking the coffee, even though it was within 6 hours, he felt that you don't have to wait anymore. But what's the story? The story goes that while he was sleeping, he knocked it over. Or as he woke up, he knocked it over. And the Chassam Sofer took that as a sign from Shemayim that is not the correct approach. And ever since then, he felt not like that. And like I said, this is not the psak. It's just an interesting opinion. But it's not the proper approach is not to follow this. We don't do this. I just wanted to bring it down that there is such an opinion out there. But again, I don't believe that we follow this way. Okay, now opinion number Yud Aleph. Again, if there's a question, let me know. I think everything till now is pretty self-clear. He says like this, in Yud Aleph, it's a very interesting psak. I got a call from someone, and he said that his wife is pregnant, and his wife said that she learned in seminary that when you're pregnant, you could eat milk and meat together. So I said, no, that's pretty clear not. That's an easy one. You don't have to check that up in the svarim. You can't eat milk and meat. She said, I heard in seminary. She got a friend on the phone. There was like a conference call. I heard the same thing. I said, I don't know where you went. It doesn't matter. It's not true. Of course it's not true. There is something to it, though. Obviously not what they said, but it's a misunderstanding. If they're saying it, obviously I thought, I'm like, it's got to be from something. There is an opinion out there that if a woman is pregnant, we are more lenient in these halachas. Look at number Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. Yud Aleph is from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer was asked the kasha. What if you have someone who's not feeling well, and one of his medicine is milk? His medicine is milk. So he's fleishik, but the only way he'll feel better is if he drinks milk. So is he allowed to? So the Chassam Sofer writes, Mimei cholov achar shehuser kolo eichol nehida esenam derabonon avakar kvishale isura upshid ein lahachmer l'choy l'ktsas achar chilz basa pshusha. Says the Chassam Sofer, if you wait an hour, you could have this, it was whey, he was talking about whey, you could have this milk product for a chola. Meaning a chola, after they wait an hour, you have what to rely on. Because again, the whole thing is only rabbinic, right? It's only biblical if they're cooked together. This whole waiting is only rabbinic. Once you wait an hour, you also have the opinion of the Dutch Jews. You got the Ramah, you got a lot of Tosfos, you got a lot of Rishonim. So okay, you're not waiting a full six, but you got an hour, and you have the guy's a chola. You put it together. So if someone is sick and his medicine is a dairy product, says the Chassam Sofer, an hour is enough. Okay, and also I also quoted the Chochma Sadam in Klal Mem Simin Yud Gimel writes the same thing. Lutzar Chaylik Tzas, if someone is a little sick, nearly poshut, it's poshut to me. Yesh lahater afilo achar baser behema lachar sheyamtin shah. As long as you wait an hour, v'yichatet shein of lachar berchas amaz. Now, okay. By the way, this is brought down even by the Sfardim, which is interesting because I would think that an hour is only significant according to the Ashkenazim, but no. Even the Alkut Yosef brings this down. There is such a concept that if someone is sick and his cure, his medicine, is dairy, okay, that's fine. Now, I practically wouldn't, you have to know the situation. If someone's like, oh, I'm not feeling so great, and I think having ice cream will make my stomach feel a lot better, that's not enough. But whatever the case is, I don't know how milk is a medicine. On the contrary, nowadays, it's usually harder on the stomach. But I don't know, whatever the case is, there's such a precedent. Okay, interesting. Oh, interesting. It could be also, is that a pill? Okay, it could be pills are more lenient anyway. Rav Moshe Feinstein was lenient with pills for a different reason. But yeah, I guess, okay, that would be that if someone is sick, and that would help, there is such a source. Again, practical halacha, you should always ask a Rav. I'm just, Rav Moshe was asked about taking a meat pill within, if you take a meat pill, do you have to wait 6 hours? So Rav Moshe said no, because taking a pill is not considered eating. It's not eating in the normal way. So we're more lenient with pills in general. But my point is that even if it wasn't a pill, there's such a source. Now, practically, ask a Rav. I'm not, obviously, you have to ask a Rav. You got to run this by. But there's such a concept. Now, how does that apply to someone who's pregnant or nursing? So the halacha is pregnant women and nursing women are usually treated as a chola. Right? Let's say for Hilchos Shabbos purposes, right? There are certain heterim that you're allowed to get a goy to break Shabbos for a chola. So the halacha is, there are certain people that have the status of a chola. Also for Tanesim, right? Besides for Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, right? The other Tanesim, the more lenient fasts, we're usually lenient that pregnant and nursing women don't have to fast. Why? Because they're a chola. They're considered already sick, right? You can break your fast if you're a chola. They start off the bad a chola. So if in Yud Beis, this is a tshuvas of Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was asked this kasha, could a woman who's pregnant or nursing eat milk after an hour in case of necessity? And he says, im tzricha lakach, if it's needed, pshita shiroi lahokil toich lamed, of course you could be lenient for a woman who just gave birth. V'ashar filu kol zman shemeinekis oimu beres, and any time that she's nursing or she's pregnant, im margish et tzricha, if she feels that she needs this dairy product, you have what to rely on. Now, in practical halacha, I don't know. I don't think people are lenient, and I don't think that that means that if a pregnant woman can just eat after an hour. But if she's really like, if there's like a real craving for something and she really feels that she needs it and she's not feeling well, you definitely have what to rely on. So I told the guy, I think that's probably the source that in seminary that you could be lenient for milk and meat. It doesn't mean eating milk and meat. It means that if a woman is pregnant or nursing, after an hour, you have something. There's something to rely on. There's definitely sources out there. Okay. So now the question, a couple more topics, and then we'll stop. Question is like this. Oh, we got some. Question is like this. What is the age that a child... This is a question a lot that I get a lot. What about a child? At what age does a child, should he start waiting 1 hour, 3 hours, 6 hours? Can I give them milk and meat together, not together? So what's the halacha? So you have in front of you is Yud Gimel. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is quoted as a tzal in Emes LeYaakov, and he says, Ad Gimel Shanim Ein Lahamtim Klal. He says right off the bat, until the age of 3, you don't have to wait at all. Until the age of 3. Now, everything is a shayla, and I think the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael are a lot more machmer. So if you definitely have what to... There are other opinions out there. I'm just telling you the opinions that I came across. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, until the age of 3, you don't have to wait at all. All you have to do is make sure that their mouths are clean. Meaning, so if they're eating a piece of meat and then they see chocolate and they want chocolate and they're up to the age of 3, says Rav Yaakov, it's fine. Just make sure their mouth is clean. Give them a cup of water, give them a sip, or just wipe their mouth down, and that's fine. You don't have to wait at all. There's no concept, says Rav Yaakov, until the age of 3, there's no concept at all of waiting. Why? Because again, they're a chola. Until the age of 3, their children are a chola. To ask a 2-year-old to wait an hour, that's very painful for the child, and it's not something the child is readily able to do, and therefore he's a chola up to the age of 3 is fine. Now, from the age of 3 on, Rav Yaakov held up to the age of 6, you really don't have to wait at all, but an hour. From 3 to 6, an hour. That's what Rav Yaakov held. From 3 to 6, an hour, and then after 6, you should gradually, based on how strong the kid is, based on how disciplined the kid is, and based on his abilities, you grow. So according to Rav Yaakov, up to 3 is nothing. 3, again, rinse his mouth out. 3 to 6, an hour. And then just gradually, as they get older, grow and grow. Different opinions. I think basically, this is what I would do. Until 3, you don't have to wait at all. From 3 and on, you start seeing how strong a kid is. If the kid can wait a half hour, an hour, you start building it up and building it up, and you have to look at your kid. Once he's 6, he should be waiting at least an hour. And even, according to some opinions, even more. So you definitely have up to 3, you have what to rely on. After 6, it's very hazy, and you have to ask your personal rav to see what they want to do and to see what feels comfortable for them. But up to 3, you could be lenient. And from 3 to 6, they should start waiting an hour to, again, and you also have to see the situation. If there's one time where the kid is freaking out, and the kid's screaming and he's crying, and you decide this is your time, you're going to put down halacha, and he's 4 years old, and you say, no, it has to be 2 hours. No, you have what to rely on. In certain circumstances, Rav Yaakov called it a chumrah. But the point is, up to 3 is mutter. From 3 to 6, it's a chumrah for an hour, and then from 6 and on, they should definitely be waiting a certain amount of time. 1, 3, maybe even 6, depending on the child. Okay. Now, you have on the second page, this is the last source in front of you. We're going to have time, so I'll probably, you know what, now that I think about it, I'll touch on maybe cheese and dairy and aged cheese, unless there are questions. The last thing I want to talk about is, how do you deal with dairy equipment and fleishik equipment? This is one of the most complicated halachas in all of kashrus. In the yeshiva world, it's called not bar nat. That's the terminology. Dairy equipment and fleishik equipment is called not bar nat. Not bar nat means nois and tam bar nois and tam. It just means dairy equipment and fleishik equipment. Now, the reason why dairy equipment and fleishik equipment are unique is because there is flavor of meat. Let's say you have a pot that's fleishik, and you cook noodles in the pot. They're just noodles. There's no meat, and they're just noodles. So now those noodles are a very interesting situation because there is meat flavor in the noodles, right? Because the meat was cooked into the walls of the pot, and then from the walls of the pot into the water, into the noodles. So there is flavor there, but it's very, very weak. So it's called not bar nat. So this is just, as a side point, this is one of the major differences between Ashkenazim and Sfardim. Sfardim feel that you're allowed to make noodles in a fleishik pot, and then take the noodles out and put cheese on it. That's the psak of the Sfardim. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Again, we'll talk, maybe if there are questions about this, you can always ask. If there are details, I don't know how much to go into. But according to Sfaradim, you could take the noodles out and put cheese on it. As long as there's no onions. We'll see. Onions and sharp foods, that throw a wrench into everything. But regular foods, parve foods that are cooked in a fleishik pot, or vice versa, you cook noodles in a milchik pot, and then you take the noodles out. As long as there's no cheese on it, you could put them in meat. That's according to the Sfaradim. We don't do that. Ashkenazim don't do that. We lechachila avoid it. Okay, so therefore, according to Ashkenazim, if I cook noodles in a fleishik pot, I am not supposed to put cheese on it. Now, if the cheese fell on it, you could eat it, but it's something lechachila you should avoid. But this is the major distinction between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. Okay, so think about it like this. According to Sfaradim, if you cook noodles in a fleishik pot, you could put cheese on it. So of course you don't have to wait 6 hours. It goes without saying you don't have to wait 6 hours. You could put cheese on it. Of course there's no necessity to wait 6 hours. Even Ashkenazim say you don't have to wait 6 hours. We just hold that you're not supposed to put cheese on it. So lahalacha, if you cook noodles in a fleishik pot and you eat those noodles, you do not have to wait 6 hours. Okay. That's called dairy. Fleishik equipment does not require waiting 6 hours. Now here is where there's a very big chiddush of Rav Kiveger. And this is where you need to focus and understand, okay? Here's where Rav Kiveger comes into play. Rav Kiveger says like this. I just finished telling you there's a concept called Nabrana. I'll say it outside, because I don't want to go inside. It's going to be confusing. Outside. According to Rav Kiveger, there's a concept, there's a Nabrana, which means you take noodles, powder of noodles, cook it in a fleishik pot. You could, according to Sfaradim, you could put cheese on it. Ashkenazim don't, but you don't have to wait 6 hours. Let's focus on Sfaradim for a second, right? Sfaradim could put cheese on those noodles. Now, take out noodles and put in onions, not allowed. Onions that are cut with a fleishik knife or cooked with a fleishik knife, or a fleishik pan, have the halachic status of meat, 100% meat. And therefore, if cheese falls on those onions, throw them out. I have this all the time where you say, this is one of the common things, I sauteed onions in a fleishik pan and I stirred it with a milchik spoon, everything's messed up. Onions create very big problems, and if you cook onions in a fleishik pan, they are meat. Inasmuch that if cheese falls on them, basa b'chalav. Says Rav Kiveger, you do not have to wait 6 hours from eating those onions. So therefore, if you have onions that are sautéed in a fleishik pan, even though they're meat, this is where you have to be understand, they're meat, but you do not have to wait 6 hours. Not everything that's meat requires waiting 6 hours, and this is the one of the examples. I'm not going to go through the other ones, but this is the one example where even though it's considered meat, you don't have to wait 6 hours, but if cheese falls on it, throw it out. So if you have onions that are cut with a fleishik knife or sauteed in a fleishik pan, they're considered halachically basar, but you do not have to wait 6 hours. Okay, that's good. Now let's confuse you one more time with the reverse. Now, says the Magen Avraham, the reverse is not true. What if you're already fleishik? You had a burger. You don't have to wait 6 hours from onions, fleishik onions. What if you're already fleishik and you have onions that are sauteed in a milchik pan or onions in a milchik soup? A milchik pot, you made soup. Pot of soup with onions in a milchik pot? You are not allowed to eat those onions. So let me just make that clear. Onions that are cooked with fleishik have the halachic status of meat. With milchik have the halachic status of cheese. All we're saying is to trigger waiting 6 hours, onions are not enough. But once you're waiting 6 hours and you have onions that are sauteed in a milchik pan or cut with a milchik knife, you're not allowed to eat those onions. So that's very relevant. A lot of times people are fleishik and they just assume they could eat anything pariv. Things that are dairy equipment that have onions in it should not be eaten within 6 hours. Everyone clear with that? Okay. So, because it's a little early, I'm just going to end off with a few minutes. Just a couple minutes. I wanted to end 45. So, a couple minutes about cheese. Waiting the opposite. Till now, we're talking about waiting 6 hours. Meaning, after you eat meat, you have to wait 6 hours. Or 1 hour, or 3 hours, whatever it is. Now, the reverse, according to the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, technically, once you eat dairy, you can go straight to meat. All you have to do is rinse your mouth out, eat something, eat a cracker, and wash your hands. That's all you need. You don't even have to say a bracha achrona. Meaning, you have a slice of pizza. Yeah, you have a slice of cheese. Whatever, you have a slice of cheese. Make a shakal slice of cheese. Rinse your mouth out. Have a cracker. Wash your hands. You can have a piece of meat. There's no requirement to wait, technically, in time, from dairy to fleishik. Now, many people wait a half hour, some chassidim wait an hour, but according to technical law of the Shulchan Aruch, there's no time required. All you have to do is rinse your mouth out, wash your hands, eat a cracker. Except if it's aged cheese. Aged cheese brought down in the Ramah, it's a halachic concept, it's not just a Kabbalistic concept, and that is aged cheese requires waiting 6 hours. If you eat aged cheese, you have to wait 6 hours. What is aged cheese? Cheese that were aged for more than 6 months. So a lot of times the kashrus organizations on the cheese, like Parmesan cheese, is aged 6 months. If you eat Parmesan cheese, you have to wait 6 hours. That's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. Now I'll end off with this one shiloh. What's the reason? So the poskim say very simple. The same reason why you have to wait 6 hours for meat would be the same reason you have to wait 6 hours for cheese, which is meat in between your teeth and meat coats the throat for 6 hours. So too, hard cheese gets stuck in your teeth and it coats the throat for 6 hours, meaning it's symmetrical. The same reason you have to wait 6 hours for meat, you have to wait 6 hours for dairy. So there's a question a lot of people ask: what if the cheese is melted in? Sometimes, let's say in a pasta dish, you'll take some Parmesan and you'll melt it in. Does that make any difference? So right off the bat, you'll say no, right? It still coats the throat. If there are two reasons you have to wait 6 hours for aged cheese: meat, it gets stuck in between your teeth, or it coats the throat. So if it's melted, it may not get stuck in between your teeth, because melted cheese won't get stuck, but it still coats the throat. It coats it a lot. It's very oily. So there's a sefer Yad Yehuda. The Yad Yehuda writes that if it's melted in, you don't have to wait 6 hours. Aged cheese that's melted in, you don't have to wait 6 hours. So a lot of svarim, it's quoted by a lot of svarim, but what the poskim say is that the Yad Yehuda is not necessarily so accepted, because the Yad Yehuda felt that the real reason you have to wait 6 hours is only for the reason for the in-between the teeth. And therefore, if it's melted, it doesn't go in between your teeth. But if you accept the reason of coating of the throat, which we do, you would have to wait 6 hours, even if it's melted in. So therefore, practical halacha, if the cheese is just sprinkled on a salad, you don't really have a heter. You have to wait 6 hours for that. But if you have Parmesan cheese that's melted in, according to the Yad Yehuda, that's allowed, according to Rav Eliashiv and other poskim, it's not. You still have to wait 6 hours. And therefore, practical halacha, Don't do it. L'chachila, don't do it. Don't plan a meal. If you know you're going to be fleishig, don't have a piece of Parmesan cheese that's melted in. If you did it, let's say, I'll give you an example. Someone had Parmesan cheese that was melted in pasta, and she ate it, and he ate it at 6 o'clock on a Friday. I don't know why they're eating so late. They ate it on Friday, 6 o'clock. 3 hours later, it's the Friday night meal. So you have what to rely on. But do you ever have to rely on, especially if it means not eating Friday night, or Nick Shabbos, which is Daraisa, according to most opinions? You definitely have what to rely on. But l'chachila, it's better to avoid. Okay, good. If there's any questions, good. If not... Oh, I had a list. I can email you a list. There's a whole list. Rabbi Forst, in his Sefer, the Kosher Kitchen, he actually has a whole list. I think it's Swiss cheese from Switzerland, not from the USA. There's a whole list. I can get you the list. I don't know it offhand, but there is a list of cheese. I just know Parmesan because it says on the package. But there is a list of cheeses that you do have to wait 6 hours.
What about like cheese? Let's say you put cheese in the freezer or something and it's just in there for, I don't know, 5-6 months. That considered aged? Or
no, so there was some Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael felt that if it gets very hard, no. It's aged. Rabelski very clearly proves that aged cheese is a process. It's not, you can't take American cheese. There were in Eretz Yisrael, there was a big tumult. It was called Gvina Tzuva, where they took, basically they wanted to say that nowadays Israeli cheese, all Israeli cheese have the same thickness and taste. Rabelski clearly disagrees. If you read his tshuva, he explains according to how it's aged, only aged cheese. 6 months. That's the accepted psak.
How about like dairy equipment? Like I see things that are OUD, but there's no dairy.
So, okay, so technically, dairy equipment is not barnat. So svardim would be allowed to take something that was cooked in dairy equipment and put it in fleishik. Now, we don't do that. Ashkenazim don't do that. But you're allowed to eat dairy equipment within the 6 hours. So, but the OU, for the record, the OU used to have DE. But the OU stopped doing DE because they didn't want to, first of all, they didn't want to confuse people, because people didn't understand what's dairy equipment, what's dairy. Because let's say you have something that's dairy equipment. Like the famous one is Oreos. Oreos, everyone says, is dairy equipment. So that means I could eat Oreos within the 6 hours, but I can't eat it, I don't know, whatever, it's disgusting. But you can't eat it with meat. But I guess people were getting confused. So, and some equipment, dairy equipment means that it's clean. Right, it's dairy, but there's no cheese there, and the OU didn't want to take the responsibility of cleaning the equipment. So therefore, they're prerogative, completely understand, and that's why they got rid of DE and they just wrote D. But a lot of things are dairy equipment. If you call up the OU and ask them, I have this product. It says D. Is it DE or is it dairy equipment or is it dairy? They'll tell you. But if it's dairy equipment, you could eat it within the 6 hours. You just can't eat it. Sfaradim could eat it with meat, but Ashkenazim can't. If it fell into the meat, you have what to rely on, but better, obviously better not to. Good? All right, cool. All right, we'll stop it.
How do we know that whole parmesan cheese is aged? That's 6 months.
Well, no, it's on the packet. It's just it's the standard.
The fact that
you can turn it off. So FDA, I think it's FDA. The standard Parmesan cheese is aged 6 months.
So it has to. It can't be just called the name of cheese. It has to be actually.